Almighty and ever gracious God, as we gather here in your house at your invitation, we ask that you would be present to us, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, and that you would bless us. I pray in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. Last night after a Christmas event, I made my way home only to find myself at the computer to begin my Christmas shopping. I'll confess to you that I'm not the greatest shopper in the world, and you wouldn't catch me dead in a shopping mall. And it's wonderful that we have a thing that we call the internet, especially for a single man. Because I can just simply get online, order my gifts, they wrap it for me, and then they send it. Last night as I was doing my shopping, about 10 minutes into it, I got one of those pop-up windows from mycountdown.org. And in that window it said you have 10 days, 15 hours, 45 minutes, and 25 seconds until Christmas. Even though I'm 10 days out, my blood pressure started to rise because that pop-up window made me feel like I was behind the eight ball. And just 2 minutes later, the second pop-up window came and it said, you have 5 days, 10 hours, 7 minutes, and 3 seconds to get your gift in the mail so it will arrive on time. Once again, my blood pressure started to raise, and I began to stress about not only what to buy, but also making sure that that gift got there on time. Yesterday morning, before our confirmation service, our bishop met with our new confirmands, and he asked him a question. He said, what is it that you have learned in your confirmation classes? We heard many answers, but the answer that struck me was the answer of someone who said, the thing that I learned the most in confirmation was that we are a church of seasons. In other words, that we have a liturgical calendar. And I thought about that answer, and all afternoon I pondered the significance of us being part of a tradition that buys into this church calendar. And then I found myself in this place today. One of the things that I love about being here at St. Martin's is, as traditional as we are, when we find ourselves here in the midst of worship, those big doors to the narthex close, so we can literally close the world out. And our job is to lead you in our liturgical worship. And one of the things that we're called to do in leading you in this worship is to give you the permission to stop, to give you the permission to be still, and to give you the permission to listen. One of the things that I love about our Advent season, the very first church season of the year, is I love where it lands in our world's calendar. Because if you think about the concept of Advent, it's all about preparation, but not necessarily preparation as the world teaches, but rather preparation as God teaches. And when we think of the season of Advent, the first word that comes to mind is the word to wait. And I don't know about you, but that's not a very fun word for me. In fact, I confess to you that I'm one of the most impatient people you will ever meet. This collar is a mask. And if there's one thing I'm not good at, it is this concept of waiting. Perhaps it's because we live in a world in which we live according to what I call a fast food faith, where you're in the fast food line and you order your food and you expect it in 30 seconds or less. But most recently, that 30-second or fast food faith has been trumped by the company Amazon. And now we have what we call a one-click faith. 30 seconds is for old timers. The one-click faith is the faith where we want what we want right now. And it doesn't matter what it is. And so waiting is something that's very difficult, not just for me, but I assume for you as well. In our epistle lesson today, we see St. Paul at the end of one of his very first letters, pastoral letters. And in this letter, he says towards the end, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances. Do not quench the spirit." Now, one of the things that I love about Paul is just how human Paul was. And throughout this letter, we learn just how much he loved this young church community. But unfortunately, due to the circumstances of the politics, he couldn't stay in that community for very long. And he abruptly had to leave. And he was fearful for this young community. Fearful that they wouldn't make it. And yet we see in the earlier chapters in this letter to the Thessalonians, Paul himself not dealing well with the concept of waiting. In fact, he becomes quite anxious because not only does he not want to be separated from this young church, but he wants to get back to them as soon as possible. You can see the anxiety in his words. And so in many ways, it makes me feel better about my issue with waiting. And yet Paul, as good as Paul is, tends to have a solution. And he tends to want to tell us this morning that waiting isn't necessarily a bad thing. But rather, we can be constructive in that waiting. In other words, it's all with what we do with that time. Yesterday afternoon, I was doing a baptism over in the chapel. And as we gathered the family into that sacred space and those doors closed, there was a moment of silence, and the anticipation was great. And we sat there in that silence for a few moments, because one of the things that I wanted to do was to make sure that we had no distractions. And as difficult as it is for all of us as adults to stop, this was a moment. And as that service began and I held that baby and the distractions of the world were gone, it dawned on me on just how precious this child was, that I was able to stop long enough and stop the busyness to focus on what was most important. In many ways, in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, he knew that even in the midst of his own anxiety, they too would be anxious. And yet he was inspired by was that even in the midst of their waiting, whether it was in the waiting for Paul or others to return, or in the waiting of Jesus to come back the second time, the Thessalonians did not lose faith. That they were a people of faith inspired by the Holy Spirit. And it was that practice of faith that allowed them to wait. Not only was it their faith, but it was also the love that they showed to one another. Because Paul was very clear, in the midst of their waiting, do not be idle. Because back then the tendency for these new believers was to even quit their jobs, thinking that Christ would come back at any moment. And Paul's instruction to them was to not do that. And so by faith they didn't. And in their waiting, they loved. They loved God and they loved their neighbors as themselves. And in the midst of their faith and in the midst of their love, they never lost hope of what was to come. In many ways, Paul is telling us that there is a discipline of holiness. And that the foundation of that holiness is established in our waiting. That as impatient as we are, he encourages us to change it out. And to do as he instructs in his lesson today. That in those moments of waiting, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And give thanks in all circumstances. Paul himself was clear, and he knew that waiting wasn't easy. And yet the goal of that waiting was to become more holy, to do the works of holiness, of rejoicing and praying and giving thanks. When I speak of works, I speak not of the works that some believe you need for salvation, but rather the works of holiness. The works, my friends, that reflect the image of God that each of us was created into. And so today we come. We come seated in the living room of God's heart. We come at his invitation. The neat thing about God is he is not a ticket taker. And he doesn't punch your ticket when you enter into this place. Because God isn't forcing you to come. He wants you to choose to come. When I was a little boy, one of the things that I loved doing was being with my father during patriotic moments. As a veteran himself, he taught me the importance of discipline. And there's no greater showing of discipline than in our military. And I'll never forget a time we were in College Station and the Corps of Cadet were marching. And as they marched by us, in a moment, a command was yelled out. About face, the commander said. And in an instant, that battalion of cadets stopped in their tracks. They clicked their heels, and they made an about face. And I'll never forget looking at my father at that exact moment, in the silence of the moment, a tear was coming down his cheek. Well, my brothers and sisters, if there's any image that I want you to have of the season of Advent, it's that command about face. Because in many ways, that is exactly what our great commander, God, is calling to each of us today. That in the busyness of our worlds, the chaos, if you will, God is simply instructing us to stop. To turn around. To be still. And to listen. This morning we have an opportunity to do just that. And I don't know about you, but I'm always needing an about-face moment. And in just a few minutes, you're going to be invited to come up to this table. And all Jesus is saying is to do an about-face. That it's not too late. That even with Christmas 10 days away, there's no better time than now. Than to do an about face. And so today we come. We come into His presence at His invitation to do an about face, to return to Him and to receive Him. Today we come. Amen.